purposes. This week we're going to have a little look at how we're gifted for service, gifted for the things that God has a calling on us to do. Last week, Jill highlighted some really great truths to us, which was really great and really clear. Just a quick recap on that. She talked about how we have in us a need to belong, and that God has designed this thing called church for us to fit into and to belong to. She talked about how we're fellow citizens, that back before Jesus was on the earth and when we lived under the law, you had to be a Jew in order to be in order to have the full blessing of God. And it was through the Jews that the world was blessed. But you needed to be born into that. That now is no longer the case. We have an equal footing because of what Jesus did. And that's a great position to be in. We don't need to pretend we're in. I like that. We're members of a household. And as members of a household, we are children of God, which means that we have the rights of a child. And that this place here, Ashwood, is our local household, our local family that we're part of. And also, back in the Old Testament, God used to dwell in the ark, in a box, in a tent, in a temple. But now, God dwells in all of us. We have become that temple. So people don't any longer have to go to a place to meet with the presence of God. The presence of God dwells in us, which is great because it's turned itself on its head, because the presence of God goes to the people rather than the people coming to the presence of God. And that was really helpful. And we're going to carry on building on that today. If you've got Bibles, if you could turn to, stick your finger in Ephesians 3. We'll come to that in a minute. It will come up on the screen, so don't worry if you've not got that. But it's important that we see the bigger picture. You know, there is a bigger picture. And one of the phrases that we use in our household, and maybe some of you others who've got teenagers and children might also use, and that's the phrase, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Sometimes that's thrown at me as well, and I have to say, yeah, it's not all about me either. And what we mean is, look, you've got to realise there's a bigger picture, and the issues that affect you actually fit into issues that affect all of us. But there is a bigger picture in all of this. And Paul has already talked about the fact that we are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the context of that is that we are not individuals in that. God's workmanship is us collectively, a bunch of individuals collectively that display his workmanship. If you've ever done a jigsaw, anybody enjoy doing jigsaws? Yeah. I used to enjoy doing jigsaws, but I never seem to have time to complete them unless I'm doing Lois or Martha's 10-piece jigsaws, which I'm all right at, until they spoil it for me by completing it. But if you have just one individual piece of a jigsaw, it's not terribly exciting. But until you build the whole picture and put all of those pieces together, then it becomes a work of art, or it becomes something really special. And it's quite interesting, actually, with jigsaws as well, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what your methods are of doing jigsaws, but, you know, I've always find the corners first, work out where they are, do the straight bits, and then you know how big the thing's going to be. And I always think, yeah, the most important bits are those corner bits or the straight bits. But actually, they're probably the most boring part of the picture, because the picture's the bit in the middle. But every part is equally important. And a few weeks ago, we were talking about an orchestra, and using that analogy that the church is like an orchestra. We've all got a different instrument to play. We're all different. But when it comes together, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger sound. When I was about 9, my family moved from Oxfordshire to Swansea in South Wales. And that was quite a significant move for somebody, for a young family. because we had to completely leave our friends behind and start again in a place that was very different culturally to what we were used to. And whilst I was struggling to fit in to this new culture, some of my new friends invited me along to a football team that they played in. And that was a whole new thing for me because football's never really lit my fire. But I really wanted to belong to this football team. So I started going along to the practices and I started to enjoy the sense of being involved with something, belonging to something and being and connecting with people. But after a couple of months or so, the manager took me aside and rather politely asked me to leave. That was the point me and football parted company, I'm afraid. But he had a bigger picture. He could see that what my feet were doing didn't work into the bigger picture of what that team were trying to do. But the good news is for us this morning is that we all fit into the bigger picture that that God is putting together. Let's have a look at Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the grace of God's, by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And there's a few observations that I want us to make about Paul and about his understanding of how he lived out the call on his life. First of all, Paul had a revelation. He's just spent a couple of chapters telling us the truths about who we are in Christ and our position before him as children of God. Before this, all those truths were pretty hidden in the law and in the Old Testament times. People didn't really have that revelation until Jesus came and fulfilled all that he fulfilled. And perhaps the biggest revelation that Paul got was this whole thing that the Jews and the Gentiles were now one. That what Christ came to do just pushed all of that aside and made us all equal in God's sight. And this was an absolute revelation to Paul. Secondly, Paul had a calling on his life. Verse 6 and 7 says this, the mystery that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And before, previously in chapter 2, he has spent a bit more time just explaining how his calling is to bring the truths of God, the truths of Christ, to a people who otherwise before had never had the opportunity and had never had had that chance to learn the truth. And so he was very clear on what he was called to do. And if you look at some of the other apostles and the other disciples who we do know stuff about in the New Testament, their focus of ministry, their focus of where they evangelized, of where they took the gospel, was different to where Paul took it. And that was because Paul had that calling on his life. And he knew that, and he stayed true to that. Thirdly, Paul is uniquely gifted for that purpose. And I love reading through the New Testament, and particularly if you read through Acts, there's a really good overview of what Paul did over his lifetime and what he achieved. But Paul was successful. We know he was successful because we still have the New Testament, and we still have the letters that he's written to churches that he has helped to establish and to grow and to mature. And we can see in some of the in Acts some of the conversations that he's had and that he has with the Gentiles, that he is able to meet them where they're at. He's able to understand and get under their skin and bring them to a place where they understand and have the revelation of Christ. He was gifted and equipped to do what God had called him to do. Next, he saw the bigger picture. Paul knew that it wasn't his job to convert the whole world. Even though he traveled extensively in his part of the world, and even though he covered a wide area, he knew that it wasn't his sole job to do the whole thing. He was very aware that he was part of something bigger. Next, he was called to serve. And this is the thing that comes through to me time and time again, reading through the New Testament, that Paul is constantly saying, "So I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I'm here to serve." I was looking at some definitions of servant in our modern day understanding of servant. And there were three definitions that I read. One was somebody who performs duties for others. I didn't like that one too much. The next one was a person employed in the service of a government. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess, you know, we could kind of relate that in that, you know, we are, because we belong to Jesus and because he is all powerful, and because we are working in his name and working for him, I could kind of get that. But there was another definition that is a devoted and helpful follower or supporter. Somebody who is devoted to something. And that shines through with Paul. Paul was absolutely devoted and committed to what God had called him to do. And he was prepared to go to all lengths to fulfill that calling. This letter he wrote from prison. And he wasn't sat there all, "Woe's me, look what I've done for you, Jesus, and now look at it, I'm here in prison." He was, "Well, you know, it happens, but this isn't going to stop me. Even though my circumstances might tell me otherwise, I know that I'm called and I'm here to serve and I'm devoted and I'm going to keep that devotion going as long as there's breath in my body." And then finally, Paul knew that he was called to serve in the church. Later on in Ephesians, he spends quite a bit of time talking about the church and about how the church is a body and how people have different gifts, different abilities, and different purposes within that. but we're all there and all here to serve each other. And the strength of the body or the church is really important, because it is through this body that Jesus chooses to show the world the truth about who he is. It is through the church that that happens. And Paul was very aware of that. So there's a few things I just want us to reflect on with that this morning, and just learn from Paul. So first of all, we have the revelation. You know, if you are here this morning and you're in relationship with Jesus, you're a Christian, you have had a revelation of who he is. And that's a great starting point, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad that I don't know it all. I'm glad that I'm still on a journey, that I'm still discovering the truths of Jesus. And I know that I won't fully make it until I get to the end. And that's great, because it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting when you suddenly get a fresh revelation of something in the Word, in Jesus, that he has revealed and keeps revealing truth to you. And the great thing is that we have access to the Father the whole time. You know, that, and because we're in relationship with him, he will keep on revealing truth to us. Secondly, know that you have a calling and a purpose. Do you know, we're all so different, aren't we? And that's really great. That's really healthy. Because if we weren't all different, then we would only get one thing done, because we wouldn't be interested in everything else. Do you know, I'm a farmer, most of you will know, and I think it's a great life. I love what I do. But I've also come to realise over the years that when people, well, some people, when I say that to, they say, "Oh, poor you. Oh, that sounds cold. That's a bit dirty. That's a bit mucky." And then there's other people, when I was driving through London with my dad and my brothers once, we were on our way to a cricket match, and I saw a load of people on their way to offices and stuff, and I said out loud, "Oh dear, that's really awful for all of them." And then I thought, well, actually, I'm sat with people who do that, and they like that, because that's what they've chosen to do. And so I've come to realise that actually that's great. That's great that we're all different. And the good thing is that God uses our differences. He uses our differences to be effective, for us as his body to be effective. But within that, he will often give us a very specific calling on our lives. When I was about 14, God told me very specifically that I would be a youth pastor. And it was one of the clearest things. It doesn't always happen like this. God doesn't always do a very specific thing when he's calling you to something. Sometimes it comes about in a different way. But this was a very specific time that I can pinpoint the day and where I was. Now, the only thing that I did with that was, right, okay, youth pastor, Lord, right, yeah, well, I know what they are, so I'm going to go off and make that happen. And so I set out on a path thinking, yep, I'm called to be a youth pastor, so, and this is going to how it's going to happen, Lord. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'm going to get a job working for a church, and I'm going to be their youth pastor. And things didn't really work out like that, and I got a little bit fed up with things not going the way that I wanted them to, and I said to God, look, you can have this calling back, because I don't really want it. I did have to repent of that, because that was done in a wrong attitude, but at that moment in time, it was probably a very honest response to God, and it was like he was saying, okay, well, thank you, now that I've got your attention again, I want you to listen. And I've spent after that point, I spent about 15 years pastoring young people, but that wasn't my title. And this is a really important thing, that sometimes we get hung up with titles and position. And it's not, that's not what's important. The importance is what God's called us to do. My title over that period of time was Dave Ransom, farm manager of whatever farm. But we had young people working for us who had a lot of issues and needed a lot of help and a lot of support. And God showed me, look, this is what I've called you to do. You are pastoring young people. You are caring for them. You don't need that position or that title to do that. Sometimes we just need to hang back and listen to God, rather than thinking that we can go off and help him out and do his job for him, in that we've got a better idea. But it is so important that we know that we're called. But what I would say from that what I've learned is, don't be afraid to get it wrong. Because what I've learned from that is that sometimes in our enthusiasm to live out what God has told us to do, sometimes we can get it wrong. But you know, God is bigger than all of that. And he just waited patiently for me and very caringly put me on the right path. So next one, know that you're gifted. Whatever God calls us to do, whatever we're called to do, God will always equip us and gift us to do it. If you want to know anything about football, don't come to me. It's the same with computers and technology. That's not my area that I'm gifted in. But there are other areas that God has gifted me in, and that God has given me skills in. My sister-in-law once said, "I am to farming what Dave is to shopping," which I thought was quite apt. God has given me the skills to do what I do because he wants me in a certain place, in a certain location or a certain position. But even in our context, in here, if we look around the room this morning and we look at the wealth of skills that we've got, I was so encouraged by the Seesaw interview. And that really demonstrates so well church. Janet said, you know, it's like church on a Friday. But even within that, you know, there's a purpose for Seesaw. And it needs a lot of people with a lot of different skills and a lot of different gifts to make that happen. I know once I got involved with a toddler group when I was about 20 or something. Didn't have children or anything like that. And I just could not relate to it. And I just felt so uncomfortable. And it struck me then, as it does now, that we're not all good at everything. But even within that, there are people who are good at washing up, which is a fun thing. There are people who are good at just managing a venue. There are people who are good at just chatting to adults, but not very good with children, or vice versa. And you can see in that example of serving how people have different gifts, but the different gifts, the different abilities are needed to make the common purpose happen. So the next one, let's see the bigger picture. You know, the local church is so vital. Up and down our country, across our world, local church is so important because God chooses to make known his truth through local church. And that's what we are all a part of. And going back to the orchestra analogy, you know, it's interesting if you've ever heard a piece of music where they play just one instrument and then they play another instrument, and it doesn't really sound like the piece of music until all the pieces come together. You know, we're part of something much bigger, but we're all part of it. Next one, understand what it is to be a servant. Be devoted to the gospel, the truth of God. It's great to serve. And unless we come at our calling with a real servant heart, unless we're here to serve each other and to serve God, then we're not going to see the full blessing and the full impact of what God wants to do in us and through us. And lastly, find your place in the local church. If you're visiting here in your local churches, wherever you're from, or for those of us who this is home, let's find our place and keep knowing where God wants us to serve within this family. It's so important to be active, because actually we grow ourselves. God grows us and develops us. But also, as part of the bigger picture, God moves when we come together and when we serve. Now, God will often take us out of our comfort zones when we sign up to saying, "Yeah, Lord, I'll get involved. I will do what you've called me to do." And sometimes that's uncomfortable. By nature, I'm an introvert. I'm quite happy in my own company. Don't get me wrong, I'm a people person as well. I love people, and I love spending time with people. But there comes a point where I like to hide and not be in full view of everybody. And over the years, God has put me in places where, like now, I'm stood in front of a group of people where, if I'm completely honest, this is not where I'm most comfortable. But I know that God has given me areas of gifting and calling that mean that I find myself in places that are not so comfortable. Why am I happy to do it? One, because I want to be obedient, and I want to serve him. And two, because I want to serve each other, and I want to see us all grow together. And I just want us to spend a few minutes just reflecting this morning. And it might just be over the course of this morning that the Holy Spirit's giving you a nudge or a fresh revelation or a reminder that you are part of this thing called church. It might be, Claire, earlier during the worship, just talked about, maybe just challenged any of us this morning who perhaps have not been in or are not in a place of relationship with God to get into that place and to give your lives to Jesus. But it might just be that you're looking at this thing that we're called church, saying, "Yeah, I want to be part of that, but I've never really fully entered into that." And what Claire prayed earlier is very relevant to you. But maybe, as I've been talking, the Holy Spirit's just reminded you of calling on your life that he's given you either in the past, or it might be something quite fresh. But actually, you know that you need to do something with that. That you need to say, "Yeah, Lord, I might have been a little scared or not really sure what it all means or what it's all about. But actually this morning, what I do know is that I need to be obedient to you. I might not have got it all worked out. I might not fully understand it. But I need to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to work that out with you. And maybe for some this morning, whilst being part of the family, you might have felt or might be feeling a bit like I was in the football team, where you desperately feel that you want to belong, but actually you don't really think that you fit or that you're important enough. And God just wants to reaffirm you this morning and say, you do fit. Like the jigsaw piece on its own that might not look like something, actually you need to be connected so that you really shine. And in fact, unless you connect, then it doesn't make the rest of us shine either, because we need each other. And you might also just be in a place where you need to say, Lord, I need to serve. I need to step up and do more than what I've been doing up until now. And if that's the case, you just firstly need to reaffirm with God and say, Lord, yeah, I want to be obedient. I want to serve. I want to do what you've called me to do. And we'll spend a few moments just reflecting on that. But then there will come a point where you'll need to take some action. And if you need some help working out what God's calling on your life is, or if you need to pray through some areas or issues around some of that I've talked about, or if you just simply need to know, where can I serve, where can I get involved, where can I be obedient, then just come and talk to one of us, because we will very, very happily and gladly help you through with that. But we're just going to spend a couple of moments just reflecting ourselves and God. And I'm going to ask the prayer team in a few moments to come up as well, just to be ready. And then we will end our meeting.
During the songs, God gave me a picture, and I thought, yeah, whatever. And then Chris' word and about the power of God lives to the same power. And Dave talking about we're all individuals, we've all got a purpose. And the picture was, Simon, can you just lift this tray up for me? Sorry, so everyone can see. Just face everyone. We're all different vessels. We've all got a different purpose. The wine glass has got a certain vessel for a certain purpose. Teapot, it's a vessel. It's different to the wine glass. It's got a different purpose. And we are all different vessels. However, it's the same power of God that fills us all as different vessels. We've all got different purposes. We've all been given the different gifts. But with the same power of God within us, We are all one. Different purposes, but the power of God is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We need our different gifts to become one with God.